Word of God and our understanding of the knowledge and character of God, we can come to peace and have that inner knowing that belongs to God, not you. 3 years ago, I knew that we were going to be expanding the church. How did I know? It was a long process, but I knew that I knew that I knew. And I went on record. I was in an elders meeting at one day, and I said, I've already left. And they looked at me like I was from Mars. I said, I've left. This is not my home. This is no longer my home. We're going to be leaving this place. I don't know when, but we will. And it kind of looks like we are now. But I had that inner knowing 3 years ago. It's also extremely important for what you should not do when the Lord gives you a great big disquiet about something because he wants to prevent you from being a part of something. Number three, thoughts, impressions, and the whisper of God. This is a very common way that God speaks to us. You can be reading the word, listening in prayer, driving a car, fixing a sandwich, and the Holy Spirit will interrupt you with a thought or a single phrase. In 1 Kings, we hear about God not coming to Elijah in the strong wind or the earthquake or the fire, but in the small, gentle whisper, which is so precious because isn't that how mostly he comes to us when the Holy Spirit speaks to us? It's the gentle whisper. Nehemiah 7, he said, so my God, here's this great phrase, put it into my heart. So my God, put it into my heart to assemble the nobles and the officials and the common people and register the families. Has God ever just put something into your heart? If you've never experienced that, you can ask him, Holy Spirit, would you just put things in my heart? Would you just make me open and willing to hear you and to listen to you for the things that you just gently drop into my heart? It's not difficult. It's not rocket science. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God and God will give it to him. It's the gentle dropping into your heart through your thoughts that God will give it to you. 1 Corinthians 2:16, who's known the mind of Christ that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Every believer can receive his voice in this gentle way. The trouble is we may be so hardened or hurried that we miss it. And so we can easily overlook the thoughts that come from God and dismiss them. The more we take seriously those thoughts from God that he drops in, especially the ones when we ask him specific questions, if we ask him, he will answer. And to train ourselves to learn to hear and then to act on those things, and the more you do it, the more adept you become at hearing his voice, and the more confident you feel about stepping out into those things. We have to incline ourselves to him as a choice. It's about relationship. It takes humility to do this. I think that's why he loves coming in those thoughts so much. Because when you come like a child with humility, just with an open heart to seek and to hear, he loves to respond to that. Everybody loves the big dramatic things, right? The big, oh wow, God came to me with this massive prophetic word and a thus saith the Lord. Everybody loves those big dramatic things, but those aren't the sort of everyday, ordinary legacy of the child of God. Some of you may never experience that in your entire lifetime, and you know what? It doesn't matter. Because having that big, massive prophetic word is no better than having the still, small, gentle voice of the Lord in your ear. God doesn't put a value on these things. Oh, this guy is a really capital P prophet. Here's God this way. Wow, mega dreams here. Mega visions. Whoa, elevate. No. It's on the same playing field. It's hearing God. It's hearing God. So whether it comes this way or whether it comes that way, it's God, Almighty, Holy Spirit, giving you direction, reminding you of what he says, unloading to you, downloading to you the things of God. And I think that's why God loves the gentle whisper so much, because I think there's a tendency to bask in the glory of the big thing here. Oh, I had this amazing vision. That's great. Visions are great. But so is the still small voice. And I think that's why he loves to speak. If we lean in, we will hear. Number four, leanings and inclinations, the nudgings and promptings. Romans 8, 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these of God, these are the sons of God. Are you a child of God? Then you're led by him. That's your legacy. That's your inheritance from him. And he will come to you with inclinations and leadings and gentle nudgings. They might be strong. They might be like have momentum and emotion behind them. Or they might just be the smallest little thought or inclination that comes into your heart that you think, could this be the Lord? We have to train ourselves to recognize and follow those nudgings and inclinations when they come. Because like I said, the more you do it, the more you will be trained by it, the more confident you will become. The reason these things are so important, whether they're strong or whether they're small, is because God wants to use you. God wants to use you every day of your life, whether it's with a family member or whether it's with somebody in the workplace or your neighbor or anywhere. At any time, he wants to use you. And he uses his inclinations and nudgings to do that. I had a really dramatic example of this about 3 years ago. I was about to get on a plane to fly to Vancouver for the weekend. And I had just heard that a good friend of mine who was one of the administrators at our King School, she'd been struggling with a bad cold and she got pneumonia. And so I had just heard that morning from someone that she'd gone into hospital to get treated for the pneumonia. And I thought, well, that's good. That's really good. She needs to get that sorted because she's been sick for a number of weeks, just not getting free of this. And I remember I had a serious agenda of stuff to do today because I had to go to Vancouver the next morning. So I was going to go to the gym and then all that stuff. And I remember driving down Regent Avenue and thinking, I wonder if I should just drop in on Sandy at the hospital. Oh, I thought, ain't nobody got time for that. But it was a nudging. And so I thought, oh, wait a minute, I should just explore this thought for a moment. Lord, do you want me to go to the hospital to visit Sandy before I leave town? And it didn't go away. And I thought, I don't have time for this. So I said, Lord, here, I need your help because I feel an inclination, but I don't know what to do. And it's just pneumonia. She'll be okay. I'll be back Monday. I'll visit her then. And as I was driving up to this particular street where the hospital was, I said this to the Lord, Lord, I have something to do over there and the hospital's over there. Whichever green arrow points me in whichever direction, I'm taking that from you as a direct sign of where you want me to go. Boom, left. I turned the car and I thought, okay, here we go. Long story short, I got into the hospital. Her husband was there and she was in the ICU and I thought, well, that's unorthodox for pneumonia. And things were very strange. The doctor was coming in to talk with him and it didn't look good. And he asked me to step out of the room and I thought, that's not good. Anyway, by the time Art and I were able to go into the room, I took one look at Sandy and I knew that she was moments from death. Now, her husband didn't. I don't know how. It's possible that he'd never seen anyone die before, but I had seen both of my parents die. Sandy was on a ventilator. She was in a coma. And I saw all the signs, everything physically. I knew that this woman was standing at the threshold of eternity. And Art just stood there, and I looked at Art, and I'm looking at Sandy, and I break into prayer because I'm completely overcome because I can't even believe what I'm seeing. And as we stayed there for about 10 minutes, and Art really didn't know what was going on. We walked out of the room, and I said, Art, where are your children? Oh, here, I said, phone them now. Phone them now. They need to come now. You think they need to come now? They need to come now, Art. Get them here now. All three of his children who are, grown up, arrived at the hospital within 15 minutes, and she died. Now, you better believe that was a nudging from the Holy Spirit. They were all, the entire family was there when she died, suddenly and unexpectedly. Those are the kinds of things that God wants us to be sensitive to. Why? Because we play a part in a plan that he has that we don't see. Okay, that's dramatic. But it's important that we say every day, Lord, I feel this inclination or this nudging. What are you saying to me? What do you want me to do about it? I mean, the examples of this are legion. Another way that he speaks to us is in pictures. He'll give you a mental image. We all know that statement, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Sometimes when he shows you something, a mental image, it just has way more impact because it touches your emotion and it gives kind of an understanding on a broader scale. And he wants us to decode it, to decipher, what are you saying to me right now? Because he wants to give us sight. So when you're asking him for things, look for pictures. Have an expectation that the Holy Spirit's going to give you a mental image of something. Lord, would you just give me a picture? Lord, I need insight for this situation with my daughter or with my son. Would you just give me a picture? And then trust, because you're a child of God and because you know that he indwells you and that he wants to speak to you, that he will, and that he will give you a picture. I have so many examples. I'm kind of racing through because I want to have some time for you at the end. But times where I've asked God, there's something that I've lost, and suddenly the Lord will show me a picture of where it is, and I find it. I remember one specific thing. Here's an example of a picture. I was just sitting listening to the Lord, and I was disturbed and anxious about something in a particular thing in my life. And I said, Lord, what are you saying? And he showed me this picture of a beautiful pearl necklace. And I thought, what is that all about? And I looked at it very clearly. I could see the knots, you know, the thread between the pearls, a knot on either side of the pearl. And I said, what am I seeing, Lord? And he said, every season of your life is like one of these pearls. They have great value. But you got to know you are not going to come unstrung because I've got you knotted on every side. I tell you what, I call up that mental image of that pearl necklace many times because it's fixed in my mind. It's fixed in my spirit. And I know that I know that I know my life will not come unstrung. And every season has great value. And every season is sustained in an active, holding up way in this beautiful, beautiful piece that he showed me. That's a picture. And then fifth, dreams and night visions. This is my favorite. Joel said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. My father was a dreamer. I inherited this from him. I am a dreamer. I have come to learn the difference between the God dreams and the pizza dreams or the anxiety dreams or the cleansing dreams. There's all sorts of dreams. But, I mean, how many of you, let's just have a show of hand, have you dreamed that you think, well, look at that, we're preaching to the choir. And some of you are shaking your head. You can ask the Lord for this. God does come to us in the night. And dreams are like, they're like night parables. You know how Jesus spoke in parables? He would frame up a story for people, mostly so that those who didn't want to understand wouldn't understand. And those who were hungry and wanted to understand, they come a little closer and go, I don't really get this. Can I understand this a little bit? And his disciples, could you explain that to us? That's how night dreams are. They're like night parables. They're like things that God frames up for you so that you come a little closer and say, okay, you're speaking to me. I don't have a clue what you're saying right now, but by golly, I'm going to figure this out. And to take seriously those things that God speaks to you in the night and to live like a hungry, pursuing Christian who is expectant to hear from God, not only in the day, but in the nighttime too. And he wants to speak to us. Numbers 12:6-8. Is there a prophet among you? I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. There's examples all through Pilate's wife, Daniel, Jacob, the wise men, so many in the scriptures who have dreams. But he will give you insight and he will commune with us and sometimes even touch and heal us. You heard Ron's dream of scooting across the floor by the wind of the Spirit. But I want to just give you a few points about the dreams. The first thing is be faithful to write them down. You know, dreams are like they pop in the morning, don't they? Pop, gone. It's like, gone. If you don't write it down, chances are really good that you will forget. So it's important that you write down and you date them and you start like a dream journal and you treat seriously the things that God wants to say to you. Some of those dreams, I've got a binder this thick of dreams. Sometimes I look through them and I go, whoa, that was random. That's fine. It's just a dream in a binder. But some of them have defined my life. Some of the dreams that I have dreamed have influenced Gateway Church in Winnipeg. Why? Because I saw something and God spoke to me and through that moved me to and moved me to influence others to be moved onto God's agenda through those dreams. I began to start dreaming future. I always know when those dreams are, and God gives me signs and symbols in the dream so that I know when I see that, this is now. In fact, I had one this weekend. I had a dream a number of months ago, and I said to Ron yesterday, that dream, it's now. I see the signs. And so you begin to recognize the things that God's speaking to you. So pray and ask God, what are you saying? Think about it. Take time. Take note of the symbols, the people, the names, the places, the emotions. And you're going to begin to develop your own dream vocabulary and begin to recognize signs that come back. They recur. Those things are important. Watching for color versus black and white. Watching for extreme detail. And you're going to begin to be able to discern what the Lord is saying. I think one of the things that's so important about dreams is that God gives revelation and insight. It may be into your life. It may be into somebody else's life. It may be into the future. But why does he give us dreams? Because he wants us to live as people who have insight, but he also wants us to seek him and to pray. To pray. And so now, one of the things that I have taken on doing regularly is I will, if I've had one of these God dreams and I know that it has to do with future and I know that it has to do with revelation, I will actually step into the dream. I'll just frame it up in my mind. I go into the dream because I can see it as clearly as you're sitting here in this room. That's the kind of detail. I step back into the dream and I begin to pray. I begin to pray about all the elements of the dream. Lord, you said you were going to explain this blueprint on the wall to me. Okay, Lord, I'm here at the blueprint. What are you saying? What are you saying? I'm listening. What are you saying? Lord, would you just speak by the power of your Holy Spirit? I want to see this blueprint. I want to understand what's in the future. And so you begin to pray from the vantage point of the revelation that God has given you, and you begin to see results. I had a dream that a deer came up to Ron and said, "You don't understand yet, Ron." And he didn't. This dream was a few months ago. And I knew God was saying, "Man, Mary, he doesn't get it. He can't see it yet. It's okay. He will. But I've positioned you. I've positioned you. I've given you insight." And so I would step into this dream constantly and begin to pray, "Lord, man, this guy needs to see. He needs a saleach, rushing on of the Holy Spirit, because he's going to be a cork, Lord, and this can't happen. Please." And so I would step into that dream regularly, and that's when that rushing of God, I'll tell you what, that came right out of that dream. It came out of the insight to pray, and that's why God gives dreams. They're not just so you can have a nice big binder and show people what a great dreamer you are, because it's really not about that. It's about his purposes and agenda, because he has a mission and something that he wants to accomplish. So that's important. Night visions, they're like visions in the night. They're a little bit different than dreams. They're like a thing that God shows you, and you can pray. Just the other night, I was dreaming another dream, and suddenly, usually for me, a night vision interrupts the dream, and I saw a desk chair on wheels that had binders and papers on it, but also a bottle of vodka. And literally, the night dream was just this. I saw a hand push the chair on the rollers, under the table to hide it. And I went, oh! And that's what happens to me every night. You know, when I get one of those, I look, what did I just see? And with it usually comes the knowing. Oh, I know what I just saw. I know who did that. I know whose hand that was. Insight, understanding, revelation. Now I'm praying. Because somebody has an alcohol problem. And I know who. And I know all about it. But not, it's not about being all that, right? It's not about having that gift. It's simply insight to pray and to reveal. Holy Spirit wants to talk to us. Holy Spirit wants to make us influential. Holy Spirit wants to use us to affect change in others and to enable his work. Last one is visions. I don't think I'll belabor that. I'm going to give this back to Ron now. Just seeing pictures unfold like an emotion picture. Horama is the word for vision. It's panoramic. And visions were legion in the Bible. And the Lord wants to give you visions. We had a young man who was completely a stranger to us come to Gateway one Sunday morning with his family. And I was leading on the worship team that morning. And I remember them coming up to the front. And I was looking at my notes and I was looking at my chart. And I just looked up and I saw in the spirit, I saw a whole bunch of chickens pecking this guy's head. Just pecking at his head. And I thought, oh, what have I just seen? It was a little bit freaky, but afterwards I discovered that he had come up because he had been in psych wards because he was so mentally oppressed by oppressive thoughts, like demonic thoughts. And I saw the chickens pecking at his head. I'd never seen this boy before. That's a vision. That's an insight to pray. And, you know, then you say, hey, I saw chickens pecking at your head. Hello, we're going to pray for you right now and get you free of this. So that's why God gives visions, because he wants us to operate in the spirit, because the spirit realm is where we live. Okay, yeah, we're all here on planet Earth, but we live, move, and have our being in him. We live and move and have our being in this supernatural kingdom, and we can have supernatural insight and eyesight. Amen.
Thanks, babe. Okay, we're going to take about 15 minutes, so we'll be done by 10 after 12. I want you to take your listening prayer, number 4 sheet. And this might be a helpful resource for you if you're not used to listening to God. Ecclesiastes 5 says that it's a good thing to go up to the house of the Lord and listen, not just to talk. And so this becomes very, very important, cultivating the confidence. Yes, this is the Lord's thoughts. This is the Lord's nudging. This is the voice of God. This is how he speaks. And so what I'd like us to do, you can go through that if you're not used to this. It takes you right through the stages, beginning with Thanksgiving, which is the easiest way to begin to hear God, and you can follow that. But here's the question I want you to ask today, because we're only going to do this for a few minutes. Lord, what would you like to say to me? Now, I want to encourage you to use a pen and paper, to have a journal. I know that's difficult for some people, but I found it very, very helpful when I take the pen, put it on the page, and I ask the Lord a question. And then I trust, because I'm asking him, I trust what begins to come to me is not going to be wacky. Now, it takes a little bit of time to build this confidence. But if everything's true, what we've been saying, every single one of us here has the resource of God himself by his Spirit living within us, who is jealous to fellowship with us, jealous to speak to us, jealous to commune with us, jealous to reveal to us. And so this is a great exercise. We're going to pray. We're going to trust the Lord that when we ask him, we're not going to hear some weird and wacky thing. We're going to just go with it. If you think, oh, I don't know whether this is me or God or whatever, just trust, go with it. You're going to have to take a risk in order to grow in this confidence. And you have to with the gifts of the Spirit as well. So let's try that. Here's the question. Lord, what would you like to say to me? Or you can ask this question. Lord, what question would you like me to ask you? Sometimes we don't even know the right questions to ask. We're asking the wrong questions. Let's ask the Lord, what question would you like me to ask? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Here's the question. And then we're going to give you a few minutes to do that. Write that down. See what God says to you. Then you're going to get with a partner. You can share what you got. And then we're going to give you the challenge of getting a word for your partner. Okay, you can ask the Lord, Lord, would you give me a word? It might be a picture, a thought, a scripture, an impression, whatever. And see what God says to you about your partner, okay? If you don't get anything for your partner, if you just draw an absolute blank, don't tell them. Just bless them. Pray for them. And something will happen through that as well, okay? You got your instructions? On your mark, get set, go. Father, as we listen to you now, listen to your precious Holy Spirit, we're trusting that you will speak to us and through us, and that you will increase our confidence, that your sheep hear your voice, you're intimate with them, and they follow you. And we welcome you to speak to us now. are you doing? How many of you heard the Lord say something to you? Awesome, great. Okay. I'm going to interrupt you a little bit. I know some of you may still have some things to write, and if you need to keep writing, that's perfectly all right. But why don't you find a partner, share with them what you got. You don't have to go into huge, elaborate detail, just the main idea. Share with them. And then pray for each other and ask the Lord for a word for the other person, okay? And we'll see what the Lord gives you. Remember, could be a thought, picture, scripture, an impression, one little word, whatever. And share that and see what the Lord says, okay? On your mark, get set, go. Give you a couple of more minutes. If you haven't started praying, you can pray for your partner. Give you another 30 seconds. Okay, let's stand together. How many of you heard something for your partner? Okay, a few of us. That's good. Let's stand. Well, this is the meat and potatoes of what it is to be a follower of Christ. This is just life with the Spirit every day, every moment. And then occasionally we have these power encounters with the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about tonight. And so I'm going to bless you and release you. But I want you to do something tonight before you come. I want you to ask the Lord to make you thirsty for more of Him. And I hope some of what we've talked about today created some thirst. There is a whole other realm which is totally supernatural that we can live and move and have our being in. Even as we walk through the natural world, we can do it in a supernatural way. That's the life of the Spirit. So let's pray. I asked the Lord a question. I said, "What do you want to say to me?" And I didn't get anything. So I went to the second question. What question would you like me to ask you? And I felt like this thought came to me. Ask me what I'm doing with these people this weekend. So I said, "Okay, Lord, what are you doing with these people this weekend?" I felt like the Lord say this: I'm uncovering a vein of gold, and I'm depositing precious treasure among these people. I saw it. It was huge, rich, rich vein of gold, which I believe is the life of the Spirit, the activity of the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't just for your enjoyment. It was for export. It was to bless other people. And so I believe there's something happening. There's an uncovering of something, mining of something that's going on this weekend. And it's not only going to enrich your life, but it's going to enrich the lives of others. So, Father, we're so grateful for the Helper. And I pray that you would just continue to nourish and nurture the seeds that have been sown. And I ask that you will continue to work in us and through us this afternoon and into this evening. And that what's in your heart, the glorious, wonderful things that are in your heart, we would taste them and see they would come to fruition for your glory and for our delight and joy. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.